Saluten from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 24th of June 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. For our first story this week, on Sunday the 22nd, at a recent UN Security Council meeting, diplomats gathered to talk about US airstrikes on Iranian nuclear sites. Russia, China, and Pakistan passed around a proposed resolution that urges an immediate, no-strings-attached halt to the fighting. It's unclear when or if there'll be a vote, especially since the US, who the resolution subtly criticizes without naming, will likely block it. The extent of the damage is still unknown, and some more information will likely emerge in the coming days. UN Secretary General Guterres warned that the situation could spiral into an endless back and forth of violence if it doesn't de-escalate soon. In defense news, on Sunday the 22nd, Spain announced it had struck a deal to step out of NATO's push for a 5% GDP defense spending mark, settling around 2.1% instead. Pedro Sánchez, Spain's prime minister, exchanged letters with NATO's Secretary General Mark Rutte, tweaking the language so that the 5% goal isn't mandatory for all allies. Spain, which spent just over 1.2% last year, says the new level meets its NATO obligations without straining social welfare or tax revenues. While Trump and others backed the higher target, Sanchez argued regional defense should be more flexible and warned that forcing a 5% threshold would hit education, health, and pensions hard in Spain. Also on Sunday the 22nd, Hungary's prime minister urged the EU to back off its plan to phase out Russian energy imports by 2027, warning that rising prices, sparked by US strikes on Iran, could wreck Hungary's economy. He says the bloc should withdraw its proposed restrictions on Russian gas and liquefied natural gas, calling the higher energy costs a serious threat. Hungary and Slovakia, which still depend on Russian fuel, have already been blocking EU sanctions on gas. For some context, Hungary maintains EU membership while frequently clashing with the institution over rule of law issues. At the same time, it has nurtured close ties with Russia, especially on energy, often blocking or diluting EU sanctions. This dual posture allows Budapest to leverage both relationships, frustrating EU unity while preserving strategic and economic flexibility. In Asia, on Thursday the 19th, the president of the Philippines indicated he is open to reopening discussions on rejoining the International Criminal Court. The suggestion came during a UN Human Rights Council session, where a reporter encouraged Manila to re-enter the court system and ratify an anti-disappearance treaty. The Philippines withdrew from the court in March 2019 under Rodrigo Duterte after the court decided to launch an investigation into alleged abuses related to his anti-narcotics campaign. In the Middle East, on Thursday the 19th, the UN released a report demonstrating that violence targeting children in conflict zones hit record highs in 2024, up about 25% from the year before. That means that over 40,000 serious incidents were confirmed, including deaths, injuries, kidnappings, recruitment, school attacks, and sexual violence. Gaza was the hardest hit, recording nearly 5,000 verified violations, such as kids harmed in strikes, used as shields, or denied medical aid. Speaking of Gaza, on Tuesday the 18th, the UN Human Rights Office and other agencies warned about a deadly pattern of violence near food aid sites in Gaza, where over 400 Palestinians have reportedly died in recent weeks just trying to get food. The UN Human Rights Office says the Israeli military must stop using deadly force around these areas, pointing out that repeated attacks on civilians waiting for aid could be considered war crimes. One strike alone killed more than 50 people. The World Food Programme says food deliveries are falling far short of what's needed, and both civilians and aid workers urgently need better protection on the ground. Since we mentioned attacks on Wednesday the 18th, a subgroup of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, consisting of Finland, Malta, and Switzerland, issued a strong condemnation of recent Russian strikes targeting civilians and civil infrastructure in Ukraine. The statement notes that despite Ukraine's acceptance of a ceasefire 100 days earlier, Russia has escalated indiscriminate airstrikes and missile attacks across the country. Civilian casualties over the first 5 months of 2025 spiked by nearly 50%, according to UN data. In some financial news, on Thursday the 19th, the International Monetary Fund chief said she wants to boost the euro as a global reserve currency by exploring joint borrowing initiatives, noting a shortage of top-tier euro bonds compared to US treasuries. Suggestions include euro area safe assets via joint debt or turning national bonds into higher-grade instruments. But fiscal hawks in Germany and the Netherlands aren't sold, and for the EU, consensus is required. On Friday the 20th, Malaysia and the International Labour Organization announced a new plan to tackle forced labour more effectively. At a recent gathering in Kuala Lumpur, representatives from the government, labour groups, businesses and civil society reviewed progress on the current 2021 to 2025 action plan and brainstormed improvements. The focus is on tightening coordination between overlapping national plans, clarifying roles, improving data sharing, and making sure responses are victim-centered. Forced labor is a big issue worldwide. It affects millions globally, spanning agriculture, construction, manufacturing, and domestic work. Victims, often migrants or marginalized groups, face coercion, withheld wages, and abuse. It persists due to weak enforcement, complex supply chains and economic inequality, making it a widespread human rights concern in both developing and developed countries. Meanwhile, on Wednesday the 18th, the Fund for International Development from the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries approved over $720 million in fresh development funding aimed at strengthening food security, water infrastructure, and governance policies across Africa, Asia, and Latin America. This significant financial boost will support programs that expand access to clean water, bolster agricultural systems, and strengthen public policy frameworks to ensure more sustainable outcomes. Back to Asia, on Friday the 20th, educational leaders from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, gathered to shape the region's higher education strategy for the next decade. They aim to issue an initiative called the ASEAN Leaders' Declaration on Higher Education towards an inclusive, sustainable, and prosperous ASEAN. They are discussing issues surrounding student dropout, schooling innovation, scholarships, and digital inclusion. Shifting gears, on Thursday the 19th, the Inter-American Development Bank approved a $250 million policy-based loan to support Chile's push for sustainable and inclusive growth. This funding backs reforms boosting digital infrastructure, including a national data centers plan and accessible public services, and encourages circular economy models in mining and the recycling of industrial and construction waste. In environmental news, on Thursday the 19th, five Central Asian countries, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan met in Almaty, Kazakhstan, for their first workshop focused on tackling cross-border pollution issues. Hosted by a UN environmental program, the event highlighted the threats posed by chemicals, waste, and air emissions that endanger both public health and ecosystems. Participants discussed ways to accelerate the implementation of major environmental treaties to manage hazardous pollutants, improve air quality, and ensure people have access to information. On Friday the 20th, UN analyst Ronnie Patz noted that in-depth knowledge of UN budget processes doesn't require proximity to UN hubs like New York or Geneva. Drawing on over a decade of document analysis, live-streamed meetings and expert discussions across Europe, he argues that the UN system's financial mechanics are largely accessible to outsiders willing to put in the time. And to wrap up this episode, on Saturday the 21st, the Organization of American States and the Dominican Republic's Electoral Authority have teamed up to implement an anti-bribery management standard made to tackle corruption in elections. The agreement sets up tools like risk assessments, financial oversight, reporting systems, and due diligence processes. Its goal is to beef up transparency and accountability across electoral and governmental processes, aiming to stamp out bribery. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Want to join our team as the Ocean Update writer? Reach out to info@rorschach.com with Ocean Writer position in the subject and a short note on why you're excited to be a part of the team. Don't miss the full job description, links in the show notes. See you next week.